With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
All right, what's happening in Hastings with fluoride? Here's Alistair Harding.
Okay, thanks, Paul. So as most of our listeners to Paul Brennan's breakfast show here on RCR know, the battle for and against fluoride in our water is raging. It began with the order from the then Director General of Health, Ashley Bloomfield, who told 14 councils in 2022 that they needed to fluoridate their water. And if you want to dig deeper into that story, you can see the RCR In Focus 30-minute documentary that I made on this topic on the Reality Check Radio website at realitycheck.radio/infocus. But right now, in case you don't know, what happened after Ashley Bloomfield issued that dictatorial order was that a group called New Health New Zealand challenged that order in court. And the court ruled that Ashley Bloomfield hadn't justified his breach of our New Zealand Bill of Rights, in particular, our right to refuse medical treatment. So the judge in that case ruled that Mr. Bloomfield's order was unlawful and ordered the Director General of Health to go away and justify his breach of the Bill of Rights. And that's something that still hasn't happened. So we're in limbo. Councils have been ordered to do it, but the order has been ruled unlawful. However, the Hastings Council loves fluoride, so they went ahead with it anyway. And that's when Fluoride Free NZ and NZDSOS got together with our intrepid lawyer, Sue Gray, and they went to the High Court last Thursday to challenge the Hastings Council on that very point, asking for a pause in the fluoridation at Hastings until the New Health New Zealand case and the Bill of Rights issue is settled. And to explain all of that and tell us what happened, I have with me now Mary Byrne from Fluoride Free NZ and Alison Goodwin and Matt Shelton from NZDSOS. Welcome, Mary, Alison and Matt.
Hi, Alistair.
Hey, Alistair.
Hi, Alistair.
Okay, so Mary, you're looking, the case is about, you're looking for a pause of the Hastings Council's fluoridation program while the New Health New Zealand case is settled. How did it go and what happened?
It went really well in the end, but just to backtrack a little bit, why the Hastings Council has gone ahead and fluoridated is because the judge also ruled that the directive still stood. So in November, he ruled that the directives were unlawful because there hadn't been a Bill of Rights analysis. And that was actually just a preliminary legal issue. It's not the full substantive case by New Health New Zealand. So they were just taking that, you know, aside and trying to deal with that first. So he says that in November, but then in February, the judge said that the directive still stood, which to us makes no sense, because if the directives are unlawful, how can they still stand? So anyway, then just after that, the Nelson Mayor, Nick Smith, the ex-National MP, he wrote to the Ministry of Health and said that he would like to extend his start date rather than April to be pushed out until there was more legal certainty, because obviously this is pretty unclear. And he was granted, Nelson was granted an extension until December. So it's throwing everything up in the air, as in like, is it legal? Is it not legal? How can an unlawful directive be legal? There's now been 9 councils that have pushed back in some way or just haven't done the fluoridation. But Hastings have gone and started it, even though they had this ruling that the directors were unlawful. So our case has been to say, well, they can't implement an unlawful directive because the judges ruled that a Bill of Rights analysis has to be done. So somebody has to do the Bill of Rights. Now, at the court case on, at the hearing on Thursday, Sue did a really good job. She started off and she explained to the judge that there's a hierarchy of laws and the Bill of Rights sits above all other laws. And it's sort of like our constitution, and it's what, it's the only recourse ordinary people have against government overreach. So that has to sit way above any, everything else. And then she went through the other laws. So there's, you know, this amendment to the Health Act that says the Director General can make the directives. But then there's the Medicines Act, which says that you can't harm people. Then there's the Hazardous Substance Act, which says you can't put contaminants in the water. Then there's the Local Government Act that says that local bodies have to consult on important issues. So she really laid it out nicely. At first, the judge, he wasn't kind of, it felt like he didn't have his head around what our argument was, because their argument is, the plaintiffs, you know, is that the directives are law, still stand. So that's their argument. So the judge is thinking, well, the directives still stand, so how can we go against that? But she laid it, you know, she went bit by bit, and he got it. The judge got what she was saying, and he actually was quite helpful at times. But then after Sue's, that was about an hour and a half, then we had their side come in, the lawyer for Hastings and the lawyer for the Director General of Health, and that felt pretty awful to listen to. That was, I'd started to think, oh no, we're going to lose. But it always is awful listening to the other side, kind of, because I feel like a lot of what they says is not right. But then Sue came back after lunch, and I felt she nailed it. And I felt she just had it completely succinct, exactly what our argument was. And so now I feel if we lose, it's not because we didn't put forward a good enough argument. And we have a very serious issue for the whole country, for all sorts of things, you know, why this issue is so important.
Okay, so when do we find out the result of this, Mary?
Oh, so we're thinking in the next week, 2-3 weeks, that kind of idea.
And if you were a betting woman, what would you say the outcome will be? Mm. I know you've been through this a lot of times already, but what would you say? How did the judge react?
The judge was good, I felt, by the end. You know, I think that he's obviously in the system. You know, he thinks fluoridation's really, really good for teeth, and that there's probably not really any credible evidence against it. He didn't really let Sue expand on that, which was a shame. Whereas when the Hastings Council came in, they were allowed to rattle off the usual things that we could completely debunk if we had the chance. But I felt that when he was sitting there at the end listening to Sue, I think he really got that this is an important issue. This is important about the Bill of Rights. Yeah.
Alison, can I bring you in on that point? I mean, the Bill of Rights, as Mary's just said, it's the Bill of Rights is central to all of this. If the judge was to rule against you guys in this case, do we have a Bill of Rights even?
Well, I mean, that was the question that Sue opened with and finished with, really, was, you know, does the Bill of Rights matter? What is the role of the Bill of Rights? And that was what the case was about. You know, do we actually have the right to decline medical treatment or not? And if we do, who's upholding that right? And so, yeah, that's what I felt the case was about. I thought that Sue did a really good job explaining that and saying, as Mary has said, that the Bill of Rights is there to protect ordinary citizens from the overreach of government. And in this particular case, fluoride isn't actually a medicine. It's not classed as a medicine. There is no MedSafe data sheet with information on it. It has an industrial safety data sheet because it's a chemical substance. And so the usual protections that go with a medicine going through MedSafe aren't actually there. You know, it's not regulated with, it doesn't have to undergo good manufacturing practice. There aren't all the medical it's not all the medical information that would be there. So that's even more important in this case that the Bill of Rights is taken into account in our right to decline medical treatment.
But I do understand in 2018, the New Zealand Supreme Court has ruled that fluoridation is a medical treatment, has it not?
Yes, well, that's where it gets even more convoluted, because they ruled, I think, in 2015, they made a change to the medicines regulations that fluoride or the fluoridation chemicals were not medicines. But yes, they have decided that fluoridation of water is a medical treatment. Mm. So it's very convoluted.
And as a little bit of background too, the Director General's order has ordered the councils around New Zealand to do this. And the Director General's order has also said that they do not have to consult with the people that the local councils represent. It is a sort of a COVID era dictatorial stance, is it not?
Yes, absolutely. Very similar. And the judge made an interesting observation that in the legislation, the Fluoridation Act or whatever it's called, the a council that has not been directed to fluoridate their water has the ability to make an independent decision to fluoridate their water, but they don't have the ability to make an independent decision not to fluoridate their water. So although the Crown was trying to say that the council doesn't have any choice and doesn't have any discretion, the councils do, the councils that haven't been ordered to fluoridate their water do actually have discretion to start fluoridation, but not to stop or decline to fluoridate.
Okay, Matt, I want to bring you in now. Why is NZDSOS interested in this story?
Oh, where do we start? I mean, there's a whole bunch of reasons, I guess. I mean, we've already talked about the Bill of Rights, which actually is the first and last defence that we all have, against being harmed. It's the first because this the principle of legality, which was affirmed in a Supreme Court case called Fitzgerald versus the Queen, says that all government statutes, including the Fluoridation Act 1956, have to be looked at through the Bill of Rights to ensure that they're consistent with preserving our rights and freedoms. So, nothing should be done at all until there's been a Bill of Rights assessment. But it's also the last line of defense too, because if, as in the case of fluoridation, there is 30, 40, 50, or in fact, we're up to about 70 years now of the battle against fluoridation and trying to alert around the harms. Because if there's entrenched error, and the history of progress in science is actually the battle of entrenched error. And there are numerous examples of things that we were told were safe and then eventually were shown to be harmful and banned. You've got DDT, asbestos,
lead.
Radiation, other chemicals as well. And the most recent example, I suppose, is lead. And a good example, like with New Zealand and fluoride, we're one of the last countries in the world that are still grimly hanging on to this idea that the supposed benefits outweigh the risks. We were very late to actually finally get rid of lead in petrol, long after, many other countries had done that. So there seems to be a tradition of hanging on to who knows, what could be the results of lobbying of very, very kind of entrenched industries. I don't know. But the Bill of Rights, should be a protection against the kind of received wisdom and sort of echo chamber compounding error that can continue over decades, like in the case of fluoridation, and it couldn't be clearer that fluoride chemicals damage brains. The evidence is very strong. And to me, it's so strong that you could almost start to make out a case that this is criminal, to continue in the face of the strength of evidence of harm, irrespective of whatever benefits there are. And our take on the evidence is that there aren't many at all. Is a really bad thing. So again, the Bill of Rights, which was brought up and identified as relevant in the New Health case, is our last line of defense as well. And we now have two successive director generals in this case. Ashley Broomfield, who in his last week, directed these councils to do that, and made this famous comment that he was extremely convinced of the benefits and to his mind it was one of the most effective public health interventions ever. And where have we heard that before? And there are of course parallels with another issue that of course is why NZDSOS came into being in the first place. As Sue said and as Alison and Mary both reminded us, it is about does the Bill of Rights matter or not, and it will be a brave judge who I think, says that it doesn't. And I have to say also that we've heard in the cases we've been involved with and this one, a judge make the comment that, their court is not the place where the science can be litigated because, these are often complex scientific matters. And yet they seem to have made their minds up on the issue, and are clearly, pro the issue. So I don't think they can have it both ways, but we have to be cautious of you know, people with closed minds or who've made up their minds on an issue because somebody else has told them what to think. And they could well be wrong. And history has shown that over and over again, you know, large collectives of people who seem to be in some sort of moral and scientific majority, you know, are dead certain and they are dead wrong. Mm. And we're saying this is the case here with fluoridation.
Mary, the latest science on it, in particular, that 1,500-page tome, the National Toxicology Program report from the US, really spells out the neurotoxicity of fluoride in an incredible way. Why did the Hastings Council decide to go ahead with this? With all of that knowledge that we have out there now, why are they going ahead with this, and why are they fighting you guys in court for the right to do it?
Yeah, well, we don't know why. They say because they were directed to. So they say, you know, we had no choice. That's what they've told us. Otherwise, we can only guess why they would have gone ahead.
So we're arguing a point of law and not actually the science of fluoride now.
Oh, yeah, we were definitely arguing a point of law in this case on this hearing on Thursday. And I think a good point that Sue had made was that it's been 6 months now since the judge made the ruling that the Director General has to go and do a Bill of Rights analysis, right? So why hasn't the judge done it? Why hasn't the Director General done it? So it's been 5 months. So if it was just a procedural issue like the defence is arguing, then it should be pretty easy. They should just be able to write a few words up and they've done it. But they haven't. And she made the point that if Hastings is allowed to continue and then all the other councils are allowed to continue under this directive without that Bill of Rights analysis having been done, then the fact that the judge ruled the Bill of Rights analysis had to be done is meaningless because it obviously didn't have to be done because they're all just going ahead. If they could all just go ahead and fluoridate anyway, then when would they bother to do a Bill of Rights analysis? I mean, we think that the Director General will be having a hard job trying to do this Bill of Rights analysis because she was told that she had to take into consideration what New Health New Zealand had, you know, the criticism New Health New Zealand had brought up. So if she tries to argue that, how is she going to argue that it's a reasonable limitation to reduce children's IQ because of dental decay? I don't know how they can do it, which is why I imagine that the Bill of Rights analysis hasn't been done. But I think that's actually one of our really strong points for the case, because if the judge does not demand that Bill of Rights analysis is not done, then it made it completely irrelevant that the judge had ever made the ruling in the first place.
Matt, Alison, have you got anything to add to that before we wrap it up?
Well, not specifically to that, but I did have two other points just to comment on quickly. And just listening to the Crown or the, you know, the lawyer for the Director General of Health, he used the word comply or compliance or some form of comply at least 25 times during his submissions. So I just thought that was their argument, that the council just had to comply. They just had to follow orders. They didn't have to think. The Bill of Rights assessment wasn't relevant. It was just compliance. And the other point I wanted to make was that the concerned citizens, the people that have been going to their councils around New Zealand saying, look, we're concerned about the harms of fluoride or the potential harms of fluoride, and we know that there are other ways of looking after dental decay or reducing dental decay, they were characterised by the Crown as minority groups, anti-fluoride campaigners and significant local opposition. They weren't characterised as concerned citizens with scientific knowledge who had actually looked at the evidence.
You could also characterise them as pro-toothbrush people, perhaps.
Well, anti-sugary drink people.
Matt, have you got anything to add to that?
Oh, look, not really. I think we've covered most of the issues. I presented to Tararua and I got that question, you know, why should they believe me or us when we were there, you know, when all these organisations, these alphabet agencies from Wellington and the dentists and things have all been telling the council that fluoridation is wonderful and that there's no downside. And it actually just comes down to dogma. and it's the sort of the dangers of echo chambers. And you know, I really hope that this judge, you know, gets it and you know, questions maybe his own, you know, his own conditioning and where he thinks he's got his ideas from as well, because you know, if the law doesn't defend us against these kind of entrenched errors, then plainly we need different laws, and that's a whole different discussion.
And unfortunately, we have run out of time. Paul's got a busy show this morning, so we better get back to him. But I want to thank you all for not only being here with us today, but also for taking on the Hastings Council in the High Court on Thursday. We're going to keep following this story, and thank you very much for what you've been doing and fighting the case.
You're welcome. Thanks, Alistair.
Thanks, Alistair.
Thanks, Alistair.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.